Good morning, Ebenezer and friends. It is so good just to be back on this virtual connection. The Lord is so wonderful. Can you just give God a hand clap of praise? He is worthy. In the little chat section, go amen or hallelujah or whatever you want to put, just praising him. I'm telling you, we are all on a journey, and we're going to deal with that today in the life of the believer. Remember, we are living epistles. That is our theme for the entire year, as we're just walking in the Lord and really allowing the Holy Spirit to transform us from the inside out. I want to encourage you to continue to share with those that are around you. There's so many people that are lost, so many people who don't know Christ. So tell them about ebcnc.com. There's a lot of information there. I'm actually, hopefully in the next few weeks, I'm going to come with a new salvation teaching, just encouraging people in their walk of Christ. And for those who don't know Christ and just want to get more information about that. Also, please encourage others to stay connected with us in our Bible studies. That truly helps us to be edified in the Lord. We've got Monday manna at 7 o'clock on our virtual connection, Tuesday noonday, where we're going through excerpts from Genesis, just learning about the creation of God, not just from the beginning, but also of mankind. And then on Wednesday on our virtual connection at 7 o'clock, we're going through the book of Luke. And then on Thursdays, we actually have an in-person service at 6 o'clock in the sanctuary, where we're going through the Johns. Now we're in the third John, and then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians, and we're going to walk our way through that. Don't forget to pray for our 8:45 in person and our 10:45 in person. Of course, our 10 o'clock online. Finally, I just want to thank you. Thank you so much for your giving. God loves a cheerful giver. He loves it when we give from our heart. And we have been blessed. Any amens out there? God has blessed us all. The fact that we woke up this morning, had a reasonable portion of our health and our strength. Well, I'm thinking about the word today. I'm ready to get into it. I'm telling you, we're going to dive deep thinking about the journey with Christ. Well, you be blessed, and we'll see you soon.
This morning, our scripture reading is coming from the book of St. Matthew, chapter 28, beginning at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me. He tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet. Birds hush their sing.
so glad that he walks with us and he talks with us and he tells us that we are his own. So good to know that we have an intimate relationship with the Lord. Well, as we get back into this topic, the life of the believer, and specifically what we should look like while living as a Christian, it is so important in these dark times, these challenging times, that we really portray Christ within our lives. And that can only be done, we're going to deal with that today, first, we truly have to be saved. Let's go back to our memory scripture, 2 Corinthians 3. Starting at that second verse, we're really speaking this aloud together so that it'll get into our minds and seep down into our hearts. So let's read aloud together. You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. Amen. Give yourself a hand clap. You're doing great. We're getting that into our mind, seeping down into our hearts. Well, before we go any further, I just want you to go in a word of prayer with me. Father, thank you so much for this day that you've made. Lord, we truly must rejoice and be glad in it. Father, I thank you for your grace and your mercy that we're going to deal with in an amazing way that you have shown that towards mankind. Now, Lord, I pray for those who are looking in and listening in and that may not know you. I pray that today be their day, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It is a gift of you. We thank you so much for that. Now, Lord, I welcome your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Please make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. We just give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you just put amen in the chat? Amen. Let's go to the second part of this particular chapter, Hebrews chapter 10. If you were with us on last Sunday, we actually dealt with a great portion of it, so I'm going to continue on within this chapter. If you weren't with us, I encourage you to please go back because it really becomes clear when you start to put together that first part that we taught into the second part, dealing with these Jewish people. Many of them had transferred their faith to Christ, and some of them were really struggling. We're going to talk about that. So that Hebrews 10:39, it reads, "But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." Hebrews 10:39 again. "But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." I want to speak from a title today, The Jesus Journey. The Jesus Journey. Can you just put in the chat, just type journey, and wherever you're sitting at, just say journey, the Jesus journey. That's what we are about. This life, God has allowed us to be here, those who are saved, to be on a journey with Jesus. Last time we focused in on Hebrews 10 and 23, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." That title was "Hold Fast." Remember, that was a nautical term that we were going to hold tight and we were going to be able to assist someone else. Just some points in review just to help us to kind of transition. Enter in. We got to enter into God's presence. We've got to draw near to Jesus. It's just not enough to just come in the house, but we want to draw near to the one that we love. Our God is faithful. And believers encourage each other. It is so important in these days and times. We need to encourage one another as we're living this life of a believer. Time frame is 64 to 68 AD. Just a little review. These Jews, many of them have been converted, and they are being challenged right now. The enemy is coming in quickly. But there were some that were kind of in that line, maybe came to the altar and accepted Jesus Christ. but it really didn't get in their heart. So now there's a sifting time that's going forth. Now, as we go through these portions of scriptures, we're going to be using a lot of Jewish terminology, especially from the Old Testament, but we're going to try to make comparisons to where we are and just to understand this whole Jesus journey with Christ. Hebrews 10:26, let's jump into it. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. Here's our first point. We have been redeemed. That is good news. We have been redeemed. The true believer will not leave the faith. The Hebrew writer, led of the Holy Spirit, is really challenging them as they are under stresses of society. They're stressed out. The enemy, again, is throwing his best punch at them. But they're being encouraged as we look at this scripture that the true believer won't leave the faith. Everyone who says they are a Christian may not be a Christian. Any amens out there? Please hear me. Everyone who says they are a Christian, everyone who has a cross, everyone who even has a Bible may not necessarily be a Christian. Let me show you 1 John 2:19, very powerful verse. It says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be manifested that they were none of us. Now that is interesting, because true believers understand that Christ is our ultimate sacrifice. Are you with me? True believers have grasped, we've embraced that Christ is our ultimate sacrifice, and there's no other. There's no other way. He is the door. He is that narrow way. There is no other name under heaven by which men can be saved. Jesus, he taught on this in John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And then that 28th verse, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I'm telling you, that's good news. There ought to be some praise there. And I and my Father are one. Christ is saying that for the true believer, those that are truly saved and have been converted, no one can take you out of his hand. The same is with this pressure that's on these Jewish believers. They had to know that their faith was secure, and our faith is secure. Do you know that you have been redeemed and are willing to go all the way for the Lord? I need you to examine yourself to make sure that you know Jesus for yourself, that you know that you know that you know that he has saved you, delivered you, and set you free. And no matter what we have to go through, that we can stand. This is the message that's coming across to these believers under persecution in this season and time. Hebrews 10:28 explains a little bit more. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot? Can you just type trampled real quick in that chat or wherever you're sitting at? Just say trampled, because we're going to have to deal with that. Count it the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace. Here's another point. The precious blood of Christ. The precious blood of Christ. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We must never take the sacrifice of Christ for granted. What happened on Calvary's cross and him being able to carry our sins and bear our griefs, what happened on that cross, him being the spotless Lamb of God, we can never take that for granted. If it had not been for Jesus going to the cross of Calvary, there would be no hope for any of us. But maybe you're saying, I would never walk away from Christ. I would never turn away from the faith. Well, I have an additional thought with this, and that even the Jewish believers at that time had to think about, how many times have you grieved the Holy Spirit? So you see, you won't turn away from Christ, but how many times have you heard the gift of the Holy Spirit that God has given you? Let me show you. Ephesians 4:30 talks about this. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all, that's important, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Ephesians 4:32, and be kind to one another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. As these Jewish believers were going through, it was pressure, and some of them were breaking under that pressure. Some of them were not being kind. They were actually grieving the Holy Spirit. They hadn't walked away. But we all know when we're in those tough times, sometimes our attitudes can change, and sometimes the worst can come out. Hebrews 10:29, it says, of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot? We've got to be careful. We don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. And so much so for these Jewish believers, remember, some were true believers, but others were kind of just like, they raised their hand and just kind of got in a group. And so now there's a kind of a testing time to see who's going to stand or who's going to turn back. Jesus actually gave an example of this in Matthew 7:1. It says, judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Matthew 7:3. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Look at this, Matthew 7:5. It says, hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So we're dealing with this Jesus journey and how we're supposed to look. But he brings it home in verse 6, Matthew 7:6. It says, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. This is important. Our journey with Christ is serious. Yes, yes, it is serious. This is monumental, because so many are looking at us, and we've got so many footprints in this society where people can get visions of who we are. I just want to take some time, and especially as we're in this virtual society, there's so many social media platforms. I want you to ask yourself, and I just want to call out some right now, how do you look on Facebook when it comes to Christ? What is the picture? If we just went and looked at your Facebook page, what would we think about Christ? What would we think about your journey with Jesus? What about Twitter? What about Snapchat or Instagram or TikTok? Or what about Pinterest? I know some of you are big Pinterest fans. What would we learn about your walk with Christ from that? What about YouTube? You're doing videos now, and you've got followers. What are people seeing when it comes to you and your connection, your journey with Christ? What about LinkedIn? What could we find about the information you're focused on, and what are your goals in life? The WhatsApp app. The WeChat, Match, and yes, some of those dating apps, Tinder. What would we find out about your walk with Christ? And are you glorifying him, or are you actually grieving God's Spirit? Please, representing Christ is so important on this journey with him, simply because people need to see true Christians. Are there any amens out there? They need to see folks who love the Lord with their whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. They need to see people who are steady. These Jewish believers that were really converted, no matter what pressure was coming against them, they were willing to still give God the praise, because he was their everything. Hebrews 10:30 goes on and talk a little bit more about this. For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. That 31st verse, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Here's our next point. He is God alone. Yes, he is God alone. The believer must reverence God. So in the life of the believer, we understand, we reverence, we exalt him. He is our everything. I believe one of the greatest sins of believers is taking God for granted. Are you hearing me here? I believe one of the greatest sins for believers is actually taking God for granted, that we just get so used to him being God and so used to being saved and having Christ in our lives, we actually take that privilege for granted. There's a particular section of the book of Job that I want to focus in on. Job was a righteous man. Now, it says in all the land, he was a righteous man, but God allowed some things to happen. The enemy comes in and really turns Job's life upside down. Friends come in, they try to console him, and then they try to explain what God is up to, and Job continues to defend himself. He said, I didn't do anything. I've made sacrifices. I'm loving on the Lord, but I find myself in sackcloth and ashes. I find myself that my health is deteriorated. I find myself losing things within life. And he goes on and on and on. And then finally, we don't really hear from God all those chapters they're talking. We pick up Job 38:1, and God makes his big reveal. Yes, because he's God alone. He comes in at 38:1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge?" Yeah, God hasn't really, really responded all these chapters. And he says, hold up. You don't even know what you're talking about. Job 38:3. "Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know, or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened, or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy." God comes in. He said, I'm God alone. I just need to ask you some questions. Do you even know how I made the universe? And he goes on and on and on and on, and it continues on to around chapter 40. And then Job actually gets an opportunity to say something. Job 43, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand over my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yes, twice, but I will proceed no further." Do you know that he is God alone? This is what these Jewish believers had to know as they're going through this time of persecution, that God is still in charge, even when it doesn't feel like it. Are you hearing me? There's some of you that are going through some stuff in your life, and it feels like God is out of control, but no, he is in control, and he just wants you to trust him. Please understand, scriptures are clear. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. The challenge of our faith is to praise him even when we're in those struggles. Can you just take just a 10-second praise break where you begin to thank him? You can put it in the chat and emoticons, amen, hallelujahs. Just thanking him for being God alone. It's so encouraging in times like this. Look at Hebrews 10:32. "But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven." Here's the point. We endure. Yes, we endure. Knowing this whole process, the Jewish believers had to be encouraged that though you're going through, you are of the type that have been saved and delivered, and you endure. Yes. You keep on moving on no matter how much beating that you get. It's like that Timex. We take a licking and we keep on ticking. That whole process, scripture even say, we fall down, but we get up. No matter what comes at us, we keep pressing. I was talking to one of the dear saints the other day, and really he's in the battle of his life, and it's so encouraging, his testimony, that he's kind of taking it and keeps on pushing through. through. And I know it's nobody but the Lord. And some of you are going through some tests and some trials in your life, but you keep on pressing. And you can say, you know what, I almost gave up, but it was all about the mercies and grace and the faithfulness of the Lord. These Christians are at their limit. Yes, they're at their limit as the enemy is just hitting them from the left and right. But notice they endured a great struggle with sufferings. That's so important. God can do something in our sufferings. Can you just put in the chat suffering? He can turn some stuff around. But we find out as we look at our lives, some of us hit our big growth spurt when we were going through, when we couldn't see our way through, when it was the darkest of night, when we were weeping in the midnight. That's when some of us understood the power and the mercies of God. Saints, we can stand in Jesus. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is faithful. Can you put in the chat and say faithful wherever you're sitting at or standing at this point? Say faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. I am so glad that God is with us, and no matter how heavy it gets, God said, I got you. I got you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But these Jewish believers were also able to focus on something else. They realized the reality of 1 Peter 1:3 out of the Contemporary English Version. Praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is so good, and by raising Jesus from the dead, he has given us a new life and a hope that lives on. Somebody say a new life. We've got a new life, and it's infused with hope that's on the inside of us. 1 Peter 1:4, God has something stored up for you in heaven, where it will never decay or be ruined or disappear. I'm telling you, we're in a season now that banks are collapsing. We're in a season now that dividends of income have just diminished and just disappeared. We're in a season where so much stuff that people have laid up in these worlds that we live in now, it is disappearing. But God said, you can lay up treasures in heaven. This world here, this stuff is going to pass away. Everything that we can see is going to pass away, but there ought to be some believers that thank God for Jesus, that we have an internal place that we can be at with him, and we can dwell with him forever, and our inheritance is in heaven. I encourage you right now on this Jesus journey, no matter what the pressure is, no matter what you're experiencing, to continue to hold on to the Lord and know that he's walking with us on this Jesus journey. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 gives us encouragement. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, somebody say everything, everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I'm telling you, that is good news. William Murphy, he actually brought it out like this in his song. He says, praise is what I do when I want to be close to you. I lift my hands in praise. Praise is who I am. I praise you while I can. I bless you at all times. Are there any praise of people that are in the place today to say, God, I just got to praise you right now. Praise is what I do even when I'm going through. I've learned to worship you through my circumstance. Doesn't even stand a chance. My praise outweighs the bad. I vow to praise you through the good and the bad. I vow to praise you whether happy or sad. I'll praise you in all that I go through, because praise is what I do, because I owe it all to you. Are there any praises out there that says, yes, I owe it all to the Lord? I'm talking about the Jesus journey. Look at Hebrews 10:35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence. Can you just really focus in with me? Because I'm going to have you to type that word in just a moment. Your confidence, which has great reward. Here's the point. Confidence. Can you put that in the chat? Confidence, wherever you're sitting at, just say confidence, confidence, as we're on this Jesus journey, dealing with the life of the believer. The believer's confidence is built on the fact that we have truly been saved. I've been saying that a lot, truly been saved. We're not just some people that come to church or are connected virtually or just read the Bible sometimes. No, we truly have been saved. God has changed us from the inside out. Ephesians 2:4, but in God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. We are experiencing that love on a second-by-second basis, Ephesians 2:5. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ. This is what these Jewish believers had to understand as they were going through these trials, that Christ was with them, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Anybody excited about that gift of God? Not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that God has prepared beforehand that we can walk in them. I'm talking about this Jesus journey. Let's sum up these verses here. Hebrews 10:36, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Final point, we believe. Yes. We believe. Saints, you gotta see the signs of the time. He's coming back. He is on his way back. I can't tell you. I can't tell you if it's going to be today or next week or next year. But I see so many prophecies being fulfilled. I see so many strange things happening in the heavenly. So many strange things happening when it comes to our society. So many strange things happening when it comes to our climate. We've got snow in places that generally don't have snow. We've got flooding in other areas. We've just got all these tremendous earthquakes that are coming up. I'm telling you, we've got wars and rumors of wars saying he's coming back. Habakkuk, and around 686 to 642 BC, he writes this scripture on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In that 2:2, it says, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. Habakkuk 2:3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end of it, it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. I'm telling you, this Jesus journey is all precipice on the fact of what Christ did for us. I just want to ask you some questions right now. Do you believe that he came from heaven to earth to walk among men? Do you believe that he was born of the Virgin Mary, that he did miracles, signs, and wonders? Do you believe that he made his way to the tomb of Lazarus, and after 4 days said, Lazarus, come forth, and Lazarus came forth? Do you believe that he could multiply fish and multiply bread? I want to know, do you believe that he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and cried out for you and said, Father, not my will, but let thy will be done? Do you believe that he was betrayed by Judas Iscariot, that he was beaten all night long as he made his way up the Via Dolorosa, that on Calvary he took nails in his hands and nails in his feet? I'm talking about the Jesus journey. Do you believe that there on the cross of Calvary, he bore your griefs and carried your pains? He was your perfect sacrifice. He died on the cross of Calvary. They put him in a cold grave. Do you believe that it got up on the third day for you and me? And because he got up and now he's on the right hand of the Father interceding for us, that we can walk powerfully on this Jesus journey, not because we're so strong, but because he has never left us nor forsook us. We can know that he is on the inside of us, and we can say things like, greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. I want to encourage you, no matter what you're going through, no matter what stresses are in your life right now, I want you to just take time to lift up your hands, take time to praise him and thank him for this Jesus journey. God is faithful no matter the struggle, no matter the tears. Know that the Lord is with you. These Jewish believers had to know they were going through persecutions like never before. Many of us will never experience what they were going through. They were losing things in their lives, their houses. They were losing possessions. Even many of them were killed, all because of their faith. Saints, We have to be steadfast, unmovable in Christ, and know that we know that we know that Jesus is real and dwells in us, that we can walk on this Jesus journey and be used in seasons like this. Saints, I encourage you to examine yourself. When people look at your life, what do they see? We want them to see Christ. We want to be like Paul the Apostle says, follow me as I follow Christ. If you don't know Jesus today, we quoted that Ephesians 2:8 says, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and God is raised from the dead, you will be saved. We want you so you can receive that gift of God, that whole process of being changed. Romans talks about that whole process of being changed. Would you accept him in your life? That gift that God can only give, and that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Would you do that today? I'm telling you that you can get on this journey with Christ, and I'm telling you, you will never be the same. To the saints today, I want to encourage you to dive in deeper, to stand strong, and to trust the Lord no matter what you're going through. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this word. Lord, I thank you that we can apply it to our lives and we can stand in seasons of darkness. We can stand in seasons of stress. Lord, I thank you that you're doing revival in our lives, that souls are being saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth around us, Lord, and help us in this season and time to be on the journey with you and stand strong. Finally, Lord, we ask you to forgive us of our sins. We failed you so often. Lord, we have lacked in our confidence at times, but help us today to know that you are God and God alone. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm a living testimony. You see, I could have been dead and gone, but the Lord let me live on. I'm a living testimony, and I thank the Lord that I'm still alive. I've seen miracles after miracles performed in my life. He keep having mercy on me. I didn't even deserve to be alive. When I faced dangers that I couldn't see, he had his angels camped all around me. And I want to say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for keeping me alive. Oh, I am a living testimony. You see, I could have been dead and gone, but the Lord let me live on. I am a living testimony, and I thank the Lord that I'm still alive. Amen.